Now, new movies and DVDs for the weekend. Ro McDermott. Ro, how are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm good. How are you?
See the way you went into that seat, which is the one Simon had been in, because you didn't think that one was going to work. Is that it?
I can't see you on that seat.
All right,
it's all
okay,
like
okay,
equipment and screens.
That's allowed.
I want to see your
That's
lovely face.
That's allowed. As in, Ro McDermott, film critic with Hot Press, here now to sort out your Saturday night, basically, is what we're talking about. You mean you're not watching the football?
Shocker. Don't I look like someone who is going to be so engaged with football?
Oh, big up. Okay, what's on the big screen that people can go out and see in the cinema?
Well, it depends what kind of mood you're in. If you're in the mood for open sobbing, the kind of which I have never before seen in a live cinema, The Fault in Our Stars.
As opposed to a dead cinema.
The Fault in Our Stars, it's based on a book by Josh Green, and it's about two teenagers who are struggling with cancer but find love with each other. And it has this really fanatic following, both with teens and with audiences, and so everybody has been very excited for this film. And I think
Hunger Games, Twilight, it's that audience, surely.
Yeah, it's a young adult audience, except I mean, because it was a novel, and Josh Green is actually a very well respected writer, so he got a lot of adult audiences on side as well. So I think there are a lot of, you know, men and women who are going along who want to see how much they will weep. Sadly, I did not, and I think that might just be a character flaw in me that I'm utterly heartless.
Absolutely.
But I think this is one of those litmus test films where it tests how good you are with sentimentality and how, you know, cynical you get at all the kind of manipulation, the cinematic manipulation. Because this film, it starts out with Shailene Woodley, who is in films like Divergent and is kind of one of these really up and coming stars, and Ansel Elgort, who actually played her brother in Divergent.
Ansel Elgort.
And he has an even weirder film he has an even weirder name in the film. He's Augustus Waters. And this film says people's names more times than I've ever heard in a film. You know, in Titanic, where they keep saying Rose and Jack, but when your name is Augustus Waters and you're saying that repeatedly, it's quite jarring. But these are two teenagers who meet in a cancer support group. Hazel Grace, played by Shailene Woodley, she is suffering with cancer of the lungs and she's toting around oxygen constantly, and she's quite insecure and a bit sarcastic and cynical, of course, because she's had cancer from such a young age. She's a bit jaded but has a great sense of humour, and then meets this beautiful boy who has this incredible thirst for life, and you know, he becomes her saviour and brings her out of herself and shows her the beauty of the world. But the film kind of purports to be defying all these, you know, cliches of the genre, you know, in terms of the big speeches and the big reveals and the manipulative deaths, while having all of them at the same time. So it's kind of commenting on its own weaknesses and cliches. You have William Dafoe in there as Hazel Grace's favourite author, who she's put all her faith, because he's written this tragic story that's all about the survivors of people when they left behind. So obviously this is a huge theme for her, because she's worried about her parents should she pass away. And that becomes one of the most interesting dynamics in the film for me, because you have Laura Dern, who is adorable playing the mother, but there are just little moments that you see Laura Dern's character can never finish a bath, because the second Hazel calls for it, she has to run. And it's that thing of, if your child is sick, you're always on and you're always in emergency mode, and it's never played up, but that's a really beautiful moment for me. But they have things like Augustus and Hazel's first kiss takes place in the Anne Frank house, and I was just there going, and apparently this is played with more subtlety in the book, but if you have kids with cancer and you're constantly doing big speeches and shocking deaths, I don't think you need to throw in a reference to the Holocaust to get people's tears out of them. And it does feel like we are going to make you cry, we're going to make you sob.
I see it's 125 minutes long.
It is quite long.
That's not short.
It's cinematically completely bland. It's directed by Josh Boone, who also directed Stuck in Love, which was an also overlong sentimental tale with Greg Kinnear and Lily Collins, and it was about everybody trying to find romance.
Alright, okay, what you're saying is basically it probably does work for your average 50 year old in Twilight and the Hunger Games who want a love story, but you're not an average 15 year old who wants the Twilight Games.
No, I'm so special, you know. Right,
okay, fair enough.
No,
okay, so then
if you're a bit cynical, you just won't cry.
Alright, what about Arthur and Mike?
Arthur and Mike, I was really excited about Arthur and Mike, I have to say, because it's one of these really interesting films. Well, the premise is interesting, and it has Colin Firth and Emily Blunt, who I adore. It's about this man called Wallace Avery, played by Colin Firth, and he's this terminally bored middle-aged floor manager at a Florida division of FedEx and a former golf pro. And you can see he's divorced, he's lonely, he kind of stalks his son and his ex-wife a little bit, and you could just see that life is not going the way he had planned. So he very badly stages his own drowning and decides to start over and become, you know, a semi-golf pro again. So he travels across America, and in his travels comes across Emily Blunt, who is a woman who is also trying to escape her own life.
I can't remember who did that in real life. Was it John... I can't remember. Go on anyway.
John Doe, maybe?
No, I'll get it. John Stonehouse.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting idea, that idea of kind of trying to start over and eschewing all your responsibilities and having a dream of this better self, and whether under the right circumstances, you could be this incredibly special, important individual. And then Emily Blunt is there. She's a, there was a film out a few years ago called Sunshine Cleaning, which was one of Emily Blunt's first big films. It was with Amy Adams.
I saw it. It was great. It was about two girls who used to clean people's houses.
Yeah, after crimes. But she played this kind of troubled goth chick girl. Their mother had committed suicide when they were both very young, and she was struggling, you know, with drink and drugs and a lot of issues. This could be a sequel to that. It's the exact same character, except poorly written. So you see this woman, Charlotte Fitzgerald, she's taken on the identity of her identical twin called Michaela, hence Arthur and Mike, who is suffering from paranoid schizophrenia. So she's escaping all these troubles at home. So it's kind of these two individuals trying to find life rafts in each other, but they're travelling through this pointedly hideous portrait of America with, has, you know, anonymous strip malls and flimsy motels, and it's the kind of this cheerless wasteland, and it's trying to say that nowhere really has an identity until you give it one. But the film doesn't have an identity. It's kind of half a quirky rom-com.
You were hoping for more by the sound of it. Arthur and Mike is the name of that. The Fault in Our Stars is the first one. Any action going on?
There is a lot of action in 3 Days to Kill, which is directed...
MacGee. The minute you see that name, you shouldn't go. It's just ridiculous. Kevin Costner is ridiculous in it.
He's,
and by the
ridiculous
way, a woman, Hayley Steinfeld, who, by the way, is in the movie Start Again.
Begin again,
isn't she? I think.
She's great.
She was
her
in True Grit. She's terrible in this. Awful.
I don't think it's her fault.
Watch say. No, it's
fair.
Not her fault, but she's terrible.
Anyone who doesn't know, MacGee directed such cinematic beauties as Charlie's Angels and hasn't really done a lot since. So he is that kind of post MTV dazzle junkie. It's written by Luc Besson, and so it's also full of that kind of that French filmmaker's frou-frou pulp sensibility. But nothing about this film works. Kevin Costner, he's kind of trying to do the Liam Neeson Taken thing, where he's blending the personal and the action.
That's exactly it. Yeah. There's too much personal, too much action, and it doesn't blend.
No, he's this former CIA agent who finds out that he's very ill and has about 3 months to live. So he tries to go back and mend the rifts with his family and his daughter and his ex-wife. But it becomes this story. He gets an extra mission by Vivi, who is played by Amber Heard, who is just in the film.
That's the most... It's like a bad video.
It's absurd. She's trying to get that Quentin Tarantino vampy vibe, but it's just Amber Heard turning up for no apparent reason in
a very fast car in dominatrix gear and says, get in.
Yeah,
like Hyundai.
Semi-flirts with him, but she has no point to her character. But she offers him this experimental drug and says, if you undertake this mission to capture someone called the Albino and the Wolf, because these are apparently real people, I'll give you this experimental drug and you might get better. But all of the action is constantly interrupted by pop songs that are masquerading as ringtones because his daughter keeps ringing him all the time. Yeah. And it is the most ridiculous thing. It's trying to, you know, the little
some of the
jokes.
Action's not bad now.
The action is well handled.
That hotel,
it is well handled. Like Luc Besson, he can write a shootout scene, but he doesn't understand that the tiny little jokes that fathers and daughters are meant to have in action movies, they're not meant to take up an hour of
Kevin Costner's an idiot in this. Anyway, look, that's 3 Days to Kill. I want to move on to one DVD for tonight. So give us one DVD if anybody wants to stay in.
Oh, thank God, because the other one is absolutely awful. Ride Along, avoid it. But the one you should get, and the one you should really stay home from the cinema and get, is Her, directed by Spike Jones.
I liked it. Completely overrated, but I liked it.
I love it. I have to say, I saw this twice, and this is the film that sent me into absolute convulsions with tears. I just thought it was so emotional and so beautiful and so intelligent. So basically, this is the embodiment of Facebook's Your Relationship It's Complicated, that status. So it's directed by Spike Jones, who has this incredible ability to kind of tap into the zeitgeist of whatever is happening in the world around him. So this film, it's about technology.
Speak for yourself. Like,
really?
The guy just needs a clip across the ear in 6 months in the FAA and the FCA. Go to a disco and shut up. Stop moaning into your computer just because of Scarlett Johansson's voice.
Dave Fanning's dating advice, everybody.
Absolutely. No sympathy for the guy at all. I don't want to give out the last shot because that'll be giving away too much, which is terribly beautiful. No question. It is. And it sort of hangs there. But I mean, at the same time, come on. You know, this movie was praised right, left and centre. Give me a break.
Okay, Joaquin, let's give them a little bit of story so they can understand your anger at the main character. Joaquin Phoenix plays this worker in this incredibly, in not too distant future, which I think is perfect for Joaquin Phoenix because I think that's, he lives in the not too distant future, doesn't he? He's this very insecure worker who sets up an operating system kind of like Siri, but it's able to evolve and grow and has a personality and is voiced by Scarlett Johansson. And through this, they got, like himself and the operating system, they garner this incredible sense of intimacy and embark on a romantic relationship. And through flashbacks, we see his relationship with his ex-girlfriends and why they didn't work out. And it's this interesting play on projection and invention and love and what intimacy means. scenes, and in the space of, you know, in the space of an hour and a half, Scarlett Johansson, who's never seen on screen, remember, it's just her voice, but she becomes this fully embodied person with her own desires. Yeah. And once her desires and his begin to deviate, you see the rifts of a real relationship. So in a way, and there's also, of course, this big question of physicality, like what is a relationship with this without physicality, and can it work? And that is where it begins to falter a little bit in terms of sense, really, because they have this incredibly intimate sex scene.
Yeah, but don't forget that you in the audience know it's Scarlett Johansson, and you know she's sexy. Therefore, when you hear her saying all the sexy bits, you realise, yeah, Scarlett, that's working.
But I think it's interesting because I think Scarlett Johansson is moving away in her choices from those, you know, bombshell objectification
roles. You haven't
mentioned
Amy Adams. She plays a very important role in this movie.
Amy Adams, yeah. Amy Adams plays Joaquin Phoenix's best friend, who's kind of always there for him and always trying to draw him ahead of himself. And there's always this hint of there's an underlying tension there, but it's more coming from her because he is too insecure, really, to open up to anybody. And it's that aspect of if somebody's in a computer and it's not a real in-person relationship, maybe it's easier for us to be ourselves, or it's a safety net. So she plays the, you know, the real woman who is there and the one he's ignoring in favor of this operating system. So it is, you know, but it's so funny, and there's so much nuance, and there's innate understanding.
There's so much nuance. It's a very good movie that's overpraised, but funny, well, okay, fair enough. That's what you saw.
The little computer guy who does there is a lot of humor.
Who's foul mouthed, after a while, it's just, okay, next. Anyway, sorry, there's one here. It says, my boyfriend and I went to see Fault in Our Stars last night while the cinema was in tears during the film, men also. It was a heartbreaking film, but we thought it was fantastic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the one who was sitting in the middle of the cinema who wasn't crying. I'm sorry. But I mean, look, I am heartless. That's okay. But I just feel it's a bit sentimental.
All right. Heartless Roe McDermott. Yeah. Thanks a million for dropping in to talk about what you can see on the big screen and small screen tonight. We'll be back with you tomorrow between 10 and 12. Larry is next for lunchtime, taking you through here on Fabulous Saturday 2FM. Good luck and take it easy.